Please turn with me to Lord's Day 19 of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 19. And we've been going through each of the clauses of the Apostles' Creed, which we just confessed. And these, in order, go into the great events of Christ. But now this is more of a future event that we still are awaiting. So Lord's Day 19, let's read through this together. Please answer the questions. What does this glory of Christ, our head, profit us? First, that by his Holy Spirit, he pours out heavenly gifts upon us, his members, then that by his power, he defends and preserves us against all enemies. What comfort is it to you that Christ shall come to judge the living and the dead? That in all my sorrows and persecution, I, with uplifted head, look for the one who offered himself for me to the judgment of God and removed all curse from me, to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall take me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joy and glory. Amen. These past few Lord's Days, we've been reading about the comforts of what Christ has accomplished in his death, resurrection, and ascension. And then when we talk about Christ's final judgment, this is something we're all still anticipating as the church. This is the point in time we are in our history in terms of God's redemption. We as a church are waiting for our Lord to return to finalize what he has accomplished. The catechism then asks, what comfort do we draw by looking forward to this future event? In other words, how do we live in the now in light of what we believe about our future? The first thing that the catechism brings up is our sorrow and persecution. What this does is it brings us down to reality, recognizing that, you know, this world isn't the way it should be. We endure sorrow and hardship. We feel the aches and pains of our fallen body and of our fallen minds. We feel the grind and the pain of living in a fallen world. And much of it is outside of our control or our ability to change. Every time we read the news, we're told to despair, to despair, to despair. And when we look at our finances, worry about how much money you don't have. When we feel troubled about our own hearts and our own souls, we feel defeated. At least we can. If we didn't have this eternal perspective, if we didn't have Christ in our lives, the weight of all this sorrow would drive us mad. It would drive us, it would make us paralyzed to do any good from loving those whom we're supposed to love. Drowning in cynicism, because in reality, we don't actually believe that anything is going to change in regards to ourselves or with anything else in this world. But that is not how God designed our lives. The Catechism recognizes this when it says that with an uplifted heart, we look to our Lord Jesus Christ. We expect to live lives filled with sorrow, but that doesn't mean we live as if we're defeated. Like the Greek god Sisyphus, I don't know if you've heard of that tale where this is the curse of Sisyphus is to push up this giant boulder up a hill only to have to do it all over again for all of eternity. No, we're not meant to live our life as if we are defeated. We're meant to live our life with an uplifted head that looks to our strong Redeemer who loves his people and who will make all things new. Your Redeemer, who has removed all of your sins that should have brought you into condemnation by bearing it on the cross where he died. your Redeemer who has risen from the grave. He holds the keys of death in his hands. All authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. Authority over his enemies. And all of his enemies are our enemies, and all of our enemies are his enemies, because we are seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everyone who seeks to silence and persecute the church and the message of the gospel will have to answer to our king and their judge. Every lie, every heresy that Satan attacks the church to divide the church, to discourage the church, will be dismantled and exposed for all of creation to see when he returns. And when he comes to judge the living and the dead, the weight of Christ's heel will crush the head of Satan and all of his hosts as the final blow to their inevitable defeat. Saints of God, your hope is not wasted. All of your long nights of pain and sorrow will be a distant memory. Your patient long-suffering will be vindicated when the bridegroom brings his bride home, spotless, ridding every trace of sin and evil. Don't place so much focus on the daily grind where you lose sight of the big picture. Where is this all heading? Where is your life heading? If you make room for this perspective to be in front and center, where you actually believe this, you will not live your lives with your head down, but with an uplifted head, with your heads held high. No, that doesn't mean the grind goes away. No, that doesn't mean the pain and sorrow goes away. But we live with this hope carrying us through. And Paul, Apostle Paul, mastered this when he says, "We have treasure. We have this treasure in jars of clay, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed at every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." No matter how you feel, you are not conquered by sin. In fact, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Amen. Let's conclude there.